maybe we could incorporate those things in the image captions.
Yeah. Will they have digital edition?
Well, there will be. We're working on it. We're writing it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
We're getting kind of an echo.
Yeah.
Zeph?
I don't know if it's from me or...
Yeah, it's only when you speak.
Hi.
I don't have the echo for Dennis.
Dennis, is it still?
No, it's okay now.
I'm not getting an echo.
Well, it seems better now anyway.
Yeah.
Hello, Barry.
Whoa, look at Barry. He's flying a plane or something.
Oh, I have my video turned off. Hang on, I'll turn it on. Can you hear Austin's me? Here with me, too. Yeah, we missed you at the workshop, Dennis.
Yeah, I know, but I was in another place at the same time.
I know.
It was an editorial thing. It's something Barry would find really interesting because it was really put together by psychologists and people, and it was about repeatability.
Oh, yeah.
Experiments and what type of information you should make available for people in terms of metadata and all of those kinds of things.
Hmm.
So I think that's actually one of the big benefits that ontologies are going to bring. It's going to make repeatability of experiments too, because people will know what a term means. And so they'll know whether they are repeating the experiment in the same way that the original user of that term would want it to be repeated.
Exactly. That was exactly what they were talking about. And also when people use analytical programs to specifically define all the settings they used in the program.
So we're working at the moment on an ontology for biological and clinical statistics, the goal of which is to make statistical analysis pipelines reproducible.
You might want to get in touch with these people called the Center for Open Science at the University of Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
They're really pushing all this stuff. They have this site and, you know, all this funding to get going. It was a little bit strange because when you do evolutionary tree type stuff, everything's very defined. You have a defined data matrix. You always say exactly the way you use every program in great detail. So for me, I was kind of surprised that people didn't do that.
So was there any mention of something called Force 11, or sometimes called Force 2016?
I don't recall that.
So this is an effort which Melanie Hendel in Oregon and Marianne Martone in San Diego are very much involved with. Also, the Nature Publishing Group is pushing it along with some other publishers. And basically, it's an initiative to try and give different kinds of credit to people who contribute to all the resources that open science needs, including ontology work. So at the moment, if we publish an ontology, we don't really get credit for that from our universities.
Yeah, right.
Force 11 it's an open science initiative, but one way in which it distinguishes itself is because it's really exploring the ways in which we can use credit to...
One of the people came up here a couple weeks ago because they were in New York and came to the garden. So I think I'm going to give him your name and tell him he should contact you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because I really think this is something, one, that they need you. And, you know, for me, it was, when they started, they were mainly focused on works in psychology and ecology. We have repeatability problems. You can never have the same bird twice to do the experiment.
Well, they are both bad areas from this point.
Yeah.
And they've had, but in psychology anyway, they've had a series of really horrible scandals. Because
yes.
Experiments were not repeatable over and over again. They were not repeatable.
But I think part of their problem is, if you look at 20 birds and do all this work on them for a while and they all fly away, you're not going to get the same 20 birds again.
Oh, of course not.
With the same experience, life experience. So it seems impossible to me.
Yeah.
I actually told them that no one can be objective anyway.
I didn't hear that.
That's what you got to tell the judge if they're going to put you on some weird murder trial. When they start talking to you about objectivity, you can say, well, that's impossible for a person to be completely objective and ignore their whole life.
I just couldn't bring myself to say that.
I could when I don't want to sit on a jury for 6 months.
Yeah, I'll say anything it takes.
No, I don't mind being on juries, but man, this one time I knew it was going to be like a year or something.
Yeah, you don't want to be sequestered for a year. Yeah. That would not be fun.
I think my British accent saves me from jury duty.
Okay.
But I never had to be on a jury.
Doesn't Britain have people that are kind of like professional jurors?
I don't think so. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I read something about that once. Yeah. It often is people, like maybe it's people that are retired or something and have time,
have
you know.
Something called magistrates who perform something like that role. Local magistrates will form a jury for a minor case in a locality.
Uh-huh.
That may be what you've been reading about.
Barry, it's a little bit hard to hear you. Can you fix your mic?
I'll try my best. Hang on. Is that better?
It's a little better, yeah.
Let me see if I can turn it off. All right.
Well.
That's good. I can turn my sound down now.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. I think Pankaj is joining us. He's probably just running a little behind this morning.
Maybe he's caught in the rain.
It's possible. Yeah, we didn't get it quite as bad as Portland did, but boy, oh boy, Portland got hammered yesterday.
Funny.
And it's supposed to start again later this afternoon with a new batch. So it's very exciting. It was about 60 degrees at about 11 o'clock last night.
Nice.
But really moist. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to share my screen. So we have a few things to talk about. We have some follow-up things from the workshop that we had in Corvallis here. We've been working on the mappings between the trait dictionaries and the TO. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then maybe we'll just follow up with Marie-Angelique about the discussion about the modified variables that we kind of talked about last week. And then Austin and I have some trait ontology work that we've been doing that we might discuss. And then finally, we're going to discuss the workshop at PEG and the latest news on that planning going on. And there's Pankaj. Great. Hi, Pankaj.
Hello, everybody. Morning.
Dennis is here. He just left his chair there. Yeah.
He's the chairman.
He's the chairman, yeah. Okay, so let me share my screen here to Firefox. So for most of the folks on this end of the call, and Marie-Angelique, of course, is familiar with this, but of course I didn't get this up yet, but I can pull this up really quickly. So we just got... We've been working on the mappings between five of the trait dictionaries in the crop ontology and mapping those to the TO. So this morning I just got a request for access from Afala, which is great. So he's obviously going to work on the cassava. Have you been in contact with him, Marie-Angelique?
Yeah, and he's already on the, you know, I already shared the document with him. It's because now you set up so only people can view with the link can view the document. They cannot edit it.
But he can edit it now because he's logged in.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I shared it with him. It's better that way because then we know who made what changes.
Yeah, sure.
It's better to have people log in, I think, rather than just having like random anonymous people making
Since Dennis is here, and Dennis, I don't know if you can follow the work that these guys are doing. I'll give you just a minute of overview over here. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I think you're on mute.
Dennis is muted.
Yeah. What we are trying to do over here, Dennis, is create a reference trait ontology that is likely to have either an exact match in the crop ontologies or have an upper level parent term.
Okay.
And the idea is that the crop ontology is much more granular and goes from trait. Underneath that is a relationship for a method, and then method has a variable or a score that determines the actual thing that is observed. So it's, there are three different levels in CO.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is match an exact or an upper parent level term from CO trait to the trait ontology. So, and they have been maintaining their crop ontologies in Excel files, which is the best and the breeders would love to see, and it's easy to manage. And so instead of them creating an ontology of their own, we are wondering is that if based on the equivalence that we find to the trait ontology, we would be automatically create a composite trait ontology, which has the reference trait ontology tree. And then if, for example, anthocyanin content 00071 shows up, then apiculous anthocyanin would automatically become a child of that reference trait ontology term.
Mm-hmm.
And that would show up in the tree as CO320-00485, apiculous anthocyanin would be a child, is a anthocyanin content. Okay, so the trait ontology graph will help will be used for driving all the ontology graphs for the crop ontologies. So in that case, we don't have to hyperinflate all the terms in the trait ontology. Like, remember, we were trying to avoid floret anther and floret stamen and ear stamen or whatever it is. So we just said it's stamen, and then so any instance of that would just tie into this reference trait ontology here, right? So that way, we will be maintaining two files. One is the only trait ontology, and then there is a composite one that can be for each species, or it could be grouped together. And when this apiculous anthocyanin term goes into the composite ontology here, then this will be tied or prefixed with the, let's say this is coming from rice. So we will say rice apiculous anthocyanin so that people know where this term is coming from. There could be another apiculous anthocyanin from somewhere else.
So just as a point of information, if we have something here, like we have these traits for anthers.
Yeah.
Are those also going to link into the PO?
Yes. So this trait ontology over here should be a cross product of PO anther quality length from PD.
Right.
So this will be a compound term over here at this level.
Okay.
You can do it at this level too, but I don't know if it is advisable at this point of time or not. But we will try to see at both levels.
So this way that all three things are linked together.
Right. So if the trait ontology anther length is already has an intersection of two, like PO anther and PEDO quality length, then that intersection should trickle down to the children's coming from crop ontology as well.
So I was thinking if people saw something like that, they might want just the definition of anther.
Yes.
Right. Period.
Yeah.
So, and I think the new Amigo 2.0 does allow you to... when we start providing the cross products, then we should be able to see that this term is a cross product of two things over here.
Yeah.
Do we have something like that?
I can show you that in, Justin's been doing some work on the theming. This looks great. Right.
Yes.
It was anther color we were looking at. I was just.
Let's see the PO stuff down here. It's there. Whatever you just had.
Can you, if this has the anther, what was that term we were looking at just before, anther?
There's anther color in the TO.
No, the plant height thing, does it have the CO in it?
No, but I have a photo of it. I can show you. We were just double checking that.
Yeah, that's fine.
let me show you. I have a screenshot I can show you. So what Pankaj is talking about is we, as an example, at the workshop and last week on the conference call, we had Justin load the lentil trait dictionary. And let me just fix my sharing here. So you can see this there. This is a screenshot of what it kind of looked like. I can zoom in a little bit. So this is plant height, the TO term subtended by the CO term. And then these hierarchy terms from the CO won't be in the final version, but they got carried in this initial version test. So,
and here you would see that plant height over here, the reference trait ontology 207 actually has a cross product with PATO height. Mm-hmm. Somewhere there should be a whole plant somewhere. I don't know. Where is it?
Yeah. And so what we'll eventually have is a number of these child terms off of plant height. So mm-hmm. the instance of plant height in rice or lentil or cassava. And of course, this is a static demonstration, so I can't click on them, but that's what it would look like eventually. Yeah. So right now what we've been working on since the workshop is improving these mappings. And Austin and I have been working on fixing things in TO that we run across that need some help. There's quite a bit of work to be done in the TO, but we're just kind of fixing as what we can right now and getting these mappings in order so that we'll have them ready to do kind of a demonstration like this for the presentation at PEG.
Right.
Yeah.
So in that way, Dennis, the trait ontology becomes a true reference ontology.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
All right, you guys can move on your...
Yeah, stuff. I'll just go back to sharing my desktop here and then I can show whatever. So... Any comments or questions on this? Maybe we should talk about the variable IDs, Marie-Angelique, that you and I talked about yesterday. I can get that lentil spreadsheet up and we can explain this. So this was a question that Pankaj had brought up when we were having our meeting last week. So I'll let you go.
So yeah, the idea is to use for when the scale is categorical to have a specific ID for each scale, and that scale should be related to the variable and not directly to the scale in the crop ontology. So if we annotate a specific scale using a specific ID, we can deduce from that the trait, the method, and the scale that have been used to make the measurement or that have been measured. And so Pankaj, Pankaj suggested that I create those ID based on the categories that we have in the trait dictionary. And so for example, for the first trait that is cotyledon color, can be measured using a categorical scale that contains three colors, the yellow, orange, red, and olive green. And so now if a data in a data set has been at the value yellow, we can directly use a scale ID that is a variable ID that is unique for this specific scale that have been for this particular measurement that have been measured on for a trait using a method and in a certain scale. Mm-hmm. And so for the name, I use the number of the category. So for example, in this case, we have category 1, 2, and 3, but in some case we can have, the categorical scale is 3, 5, and 7, for example, for the disease. And so you will get scale 5, 7, and so you can deduce the number of the score in the data set, but also the name is given as a synonym.
I, so, wonder, I wonder if we should think about somehow capturing what the species is, because it seems like going from the variable ID to the cotyledon, I mean, to the variable name, could we prefix them with like lentil? So that it's not a generic, because I mean, we're kind of losing this information of what the crop is here. What do people think about that?
So, but I thought that when we bring it into a composite trait ontology, then at that time we can add it. With the Marie Angelique's people, they're already working on lentil. They are using only this, so they're not cross-referencing using this one for rice. So they're fine.
Right. Okay. I just wondered if that was something we should add in the name here.
I think we can add it automatically.
So do we have, I know we do in these cases, but I don't know about all of them. So we have cotyledon in the PO and we have seed testa in the PO or seed coat or something.
Yeah, we have seed coat. Yeah.
In other words, that's thinking we need to cross. So if there's things that aren't in the PO, I should probably concentrate on getting them in there.
Yes.
Yeah, if there's things that are missing, let us know.
Yeah, okay. So I guess we can test each one of them.
So for example,
and that makes lentil a very good model for us.
Yeah. Right.
And the very quick one I think we figured out was there are different types of tendrils.
Yes.
So those are modified, sometimes stem, metamodified inflorescence axis, sometimes axillary branch modification, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, leaves are sometimes, like in compound leaves, one leaflet, like in clematis, becomes a tendril.
Yeah, so, and that is especially a case when we were looking at lentils have those kinds of things. So lentils have leaflet trends.
Okay, so I see it now. Okay, so those, I was just going to go through here and find these things, I guess. If I have the link to this,
you want to look at it. And,
send me the link to it.
Yeah, absolutely, Dennis. And, you know, it's interesting because, so the curator that was at the workshop with us has this, the lentil curator, Karthika. So the term is called type of tendril.
Yeah.
Three categories are bristle, simple, and dichotomous.
I have no idea what those are.
Yeah. But I mean.
I mean, I'll go look at a lentil and I'll know.
It's sort of complicated to use bristle for a tendril.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I mean. I need to go look at a plant.
No. It's not like that. It's the shape or type of the tendril. Tendril is the same type that we have in the PO internal or something like that. Wait a second. I was just trying to see where.
Well,
I had that picture somewhere. I think the cotyledon tendril is, the lentil tendril is a leaflet tendril type. So the tendril type is leaflet tendril.
Okay, and that's the P process to the P.
But the tendril, the leaflet tendril that appears within the mutant population of tendril in lentils, they might be dichotomous type, or that might be it's a dichotomous leaflet type, bristle type, or something.
I see what you mean. This is more about
secondary modification of that
mutants, and then what the mutants look like.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, we are just kind of being careful about using bristle because, well, I guess bristle isn't an actual.
Bristle is more of a...
But it's a synonym on a number of terms.
It could be used as a descriptor for lots of different things in terms of a shape. It'd be like saying ovoid or something.
Right.
Or pointed or... That stuff gets kind of loose. I don't know what Barry thinks about that.
So actually, I have some questions about the way the colors were being represented. Can we go back to that?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well, Barry. The colors?
The colors, yeah. So can you go back to the screen?
So this is cotyledon color here.
Yeah, but...
Or you mean the scales of the colors?
Yeah. So can you explain, when you say cotyledon color scale 1, do you mean that the scale is number 1 or there is an item on the scale which is number 1?
No, it says that if you find the cotyledon color is yellow, then you need to use the predefined scale number 1, scale number 2, scale number 3. So if your cotyledon color is orange red, then you would choose scale 2.
I see. Okay.
So I have another question about colors. Just, we don't need to do it, but you know, there is a standard color book that people use in biology, particularly people who work in fungi. And so they're very defined names that are a standard reference. Should we think about that kind of thing here?
I think we can. Sometimes when they take the pictures, they have the color cards or color wheel, standard color wheel embedded in the picture so that people can actually go on to do an automated analysis. Sometimes it's just a visual thing. People think they're more familiar with their plant. They will just say, I'm looking at orange, red, or olive green. So it is a very, I agree, it is a very subjective way of scoring.
There is this book or whatever that people use, you know, bird people and all of them, and they have numbers on them or something, like 631 is yellow.
Right.
So
those are all defined in Peto.
So for within the species annotations, that is okay because that community understands what is your standard for olive green is.
Right.
They have their own references.
Yeah.
But the moment you start comparing this cotyledon color with a common bean cotyledon color, this olive green reference might change. So at that point, I would just say the comparison will be only at the trait level, cotyledon color. They're saying this gene or this QTL is affecting cotyledon color. Now, what is the cotyledon color? That's, you go and figure that out.
Okay.
but cross-species comparison, it is absolutely nightmare to compare it at the actual phenotype level.
I have to tell you, I'm not going to rely on the red-green colorblind people for this.
Absolutely. I just sent you, and everybody, a link in the Zoom chat which shows the lentil tendril, actually.
Okay, we'll open that. Oh, that's great. Yes.
Yeah. So this is a leaflet tendril, and so you see that in the the second branch on the top. Sometimes the leaflets don't develop as a blade. At that time, it might be just a mid-vein of this leaflet would be just showing up. So it has bristles. It's more like a bristles. So the wing of the leaflet would not, or lamina of the leaflet would not develop. It will be just a vein. So sometimes it does happen. If you're growing pea in your gardens, you would see like that. So I think these are all just the modification of that leaflet tendril that they have.
Let me just look real quick at these tendrils, how that's defined in the PO.
I'll just send an email to the Plantium.
Coiling and laxilla minor.
I'm sending an email to the Plantium internal mailing list so everybody gets that. And there is an actually known gene, tendril-less, from lentils. So, Dennis, the thing is that we need more types of tendril.
Yep, I see that. I'll hop onto those.
In my email, actually, I think it has lots of different tendril types.
What is this you just sent us, Pankaj?
It's the discussion that Chris was having on our mailing list about tendrils.
Didn't seem to get it. Okay, so... should we go back to the agenda?
Yes.
So this is an overview of what we did at the workshop. We talked about the modified variables. All right, so some work that's going on in the trait ontology. In this great process of going through all these terms, and of course we identify things that need to be fixed in the TO. So like on the lentil sheet, I'll show you, we have a column here. So this is kind of for Austin and I. We're using this, you know, to determine the traits that need work on them. So we're kind of going through this and fixing things as we can. So we've identified a few things in the TO, and Austin is going to, maybe I'll let you share your screen.
Oh, I'm not on the call.
Oh, okay. Well, you talk and I can share the screen.
You just bring up the...
You want me to just show this? Sure. So one of the things that we had noticed when we were working on the TO is that there's a lot of branches of the TO that really need a lot of work. So we were looking at the biochemical traits. So I'll let Austin talk.
Yeah, like Lal said, we divvied it up and I drew the biochemical trait short straw, I guess. And I was looking at how we could condense it a little bit or make it more usable. There's a couple of weird, like strange miscellaneous terms in there, like Stover organic matter and.
Stover is from the corn. People wanted it.
Right. So yeah, we're gonna have to
find field
for some of these things, but there one of the more glaring issues that I found with it is there's like duplications of terms where you have both content and concentration.
Open this branch for us.
Traits, and after looking at some of the literature and just discussions on the internet with biochemists, the consensus is that the terms don't help that much because people tend to misuse them, and the general consensus is that concentration is an amount of something per a volume, a measured volume, and the content is an amount of something per a measured mass. So content sort of includes concentration. So if we are asking people to put the scale of their measurements in their CO term, it's easier to just use the more broad term content. And then if their scale is a volume, then their specific trait might be a concentration, but that's not important to the TO level trait. So if we can remove a lot of the duplicates and prevent people from accidentally mapping to an incorrect term, right, if we just merge everything that has both a concentration and a content into a single term content.
Yeah, we have several cases of that, like potassium concentration, potassium content.
So Barry, did you understand what he's trying to say?
You're muted, Barry.
No, I didn't. So can you...
So concentration is definitely scored in terms of the identified or defined volume of the object in which it is with reference to. For example, you would say
by measurement.
You can say millimolar or concentration can be defined as in terms of milligrams per liter of volume.
And you measure it then?
Yes, you measure it.
Right.
Content also you can measure it, but it is mainly based on the mass and sometimes volume, but mass includes the volume as well.
So content's like 10% of something expressed that way?
Yeah, it could be that way, yeah.
No, 10% of this unit is
that's the
ash.
Part I don't understand.
People might measure something like potassium content inside a muscle cell or inside a mesophyll cell.
So was
300 millimolar.
Does that mean 10% of the volume is taken up?
If it is millimolar, they would say that it would include the volume.
Yeah.
And whereas if it might just say 10 milligrams, then it doesn't mean anything.
So I understand the 10 milligrams. And I'm going to understand the 10% as being a ratio of volumes occupied.
10% of
anything. It could be a ratio. If you have 10 milligrams out of 100 milligrams, that's a 10%. So it's up to whoever measured the trait to put the scale in it. If their group or their breeding coalition doesn't use a scale like that has a grams or volume in it, that's up to them.
I think I get it.
I'm just suggesting we keep the scales out of our TO.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And since concentration is covered under the word content, at least by a formal definition, we can let them fight it out in their small circles.
Um, So do we have somewhere a picture of how we relate copper content and copper concentration in PO at the moment?
Can you click on that? You should be able to see.
Well, I can show you the inferred tree view. They're all just siblings.
So if they are siblings, then that would be a suggestion that we should keep both. If one was the child, then we should just keep the upper level one. If
well, they may be siblings, but they may not be correctly placed as siblings.
Do we have definitions?
Well, they do have definitions. They're kind of rudimentary.
So the concentration would always have measured in a given volume.
Yeah, and we're trying to move away from dealing with the measurements in the TO. Good. So Austin's proposal is to make, you know, a more general term, like if we use the, let's look at one that has both of these.
Iron.
Copper.
Iron.
Copper content is the total copper ion content measured in a plant or plant part. Okay. So these definitions need some work.
Okay, so something which I had suggested a couple of times at the meeting and which I think is now even more urgent is the following. So we are accumulating a series of terms which are neither going to go in the TO and nor are they going to be defined in any of the crop ontologies. They include terms like variable and measurement, but they would also include terms like content and concentration. I suggest that we start to keep a list of such terms, and then we test ourselves occasionally to see if we have good definitions of the terms on that list. It might be
those terms are available from Pato.
Oh, yes, but I don't trust Pato's definition. so
yeah, because
the definitions that we are happy with.
Right.
Well, I mean, if we don't like the definitions in Pato, we can work with them to fix the mechanism.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, so the scale is another one, actually. So content, concentration, scale, variable, what was the method?
Method.
I don't think all of those are in Pato.
No, those three probably aren't, but concentration and content and amount are.
Yeah, so I bet you that they have bad definitions.
I'm sorry?
I bet you that they don't have good definitions.
Well, that's possible. We looked at them yesterday a little bit. Do we want to go and look at them?
Yes, I think that would help to justify the move away from having concentrations in.
Define content. What is that?
Let me just look up Pato here. I wish there.
Just search on Google Pato concentration off. You had it.
Yeah, I know it's. So here's the Pato concentration of. So they just say mixed with another substance.
So this was written by a Greek.
Barry, we're recording this.
True, look at this.
Yeah. Okay, so Pato concentration of.
Yeah, that needs work. And if you're willing to do that work, I'm willing to hold
I think Austin's willing to
I
do
can
it.
Do it. I can definitely do it.
Concentration of. And how would you like to see it defined, Barry?
So I will take that on as an action item for myself.
Okay, good. You and Austin can work on this.
So, Laurel, you like to keep only the content term?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. are we thinking we're going to merge them?
Yeah.
Or?
I think we should punt on this until we see what we can do with the way of definition.
Yeah, because I think it's important, as the ontology can be seen also as a glossary or, I don't know, a sort of standard that people can look, where people can look for terms and definition. Maybe if we have two clear definitions for the two different classes, I mean, maybe after that they can start to use the terms accordingly to the definition.
So if we can get Pato's definition into good shape, then we can just borrow it. So we can create a list somewhere of those definitions. And then once we've reached that stage, we can address the question whether we keep concentration in TO or not.
Right.
But we need good definitions first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the way, if we go back, and what I'm thinking you means the way Austin was presenting it yesterday, and Barry, you might, Austin, go ahead and share your documents with Barry, is it's not the composition.
I know, I'm just showing the other, the meaning of content in Pato.
If concentration is included in the content, then concentration can become a child of the content. So every of all of those mineral terms must have a content term for you. If it is already existing, then you just drag the concentration under the content and create it as a child. So
yeah, that's another option.
For the moment, you would get it in shape until Barry comes up with a better definition for that. Yeah. So and all the and for our purposes, we would do all the annotations to the content unless somebody does it in somewhere else in a concentration way, and then we can always pull. Then it automatically flows to the parent term.
Mm-hmm. That's another option.
That's another option. Yeah, actually, that's maybe. So, yeah, oops, that's the wrong one.
Another thing term that we were looking at, Barry, was composition. So people might be able to say potassium composition of a cell instead of saying content of a cell or concentration.
Yeah, I don't like composition at all.
So that is another problematic thing. Here, composition is mainly a structural entity, whereas people do record molecular composition in terms of...
Yeah, so this is... it's a vegetable garden.
And the synonyms are kind of strange because content, you know, these are more like descriptions of the...
Oh, so content is a synonym of composition?
Yeah, see, right here.
Yes, that's a problem here.
Yeah. No, no, we need to get some order into this chaos.
Okay.
I like Greeks, incidentally.
We know, we all do, yeah.
Good.
So one of the other things that we're looking at doing in the biochemical branch here is getting rid of some of the, or maybe moving things from some of the, we have this, where is it, that biological process? Those are under.
Biological process.
Oh, right, the top one here. Thank you.
Gotcha.
one of the branches under biochemical trait is this category biological process related trait. Mm-hmm. And I think those could be moved out to more appropriate categories. And then it doesn't really seem, I mean, everything in the plant is really a biological process.
It is. So what the way it was designed that way is this branch was basically representative of the biological process section in Go.
Are there any four children?
I'm sorry. Barry, it's very hard to hear you.
Are there only four children?
There's only four children of biological process.
Get rid of it.
Except that this one has a bunch of children.
Yes, but still, it's another vegetable garden. There's no coherence here.
I'm sorry, Barry. Could you fix your mic again?
Yeah. Let me try without the mic. Hang on.
It's better?
Yes, much better.
Yeah.
I heard something about a vegetable garden, I think. Was that correct?
Yeah, that's a disparaging comment. It's funny that when I'm here, I can't hear you anymore.
Oh.
But never mind, I will turn up my microphone here. Okay, I can probably hear you better now.
Okay.
So I think that the term trait does not appropriately apply to processes. So give me an account of what would a cell cycle trait be that would be required to be annotated in a crop ontology.
For example, there is what do you call it as? You have the mitotic cell division was affected in a mutant. In a mutant, so that way you would see the mitotic cell cycle trait is affected.
And that's so because some cells were affected.
Some transcription factor that is involved in cell division was mutated, so the cells stopped.
Yeah, and so it's the transcription factor, the mutated transcription factor in the cell, which is the thing which has the trait here, the transcription factor trait.
It depends.
Such that it gives rise to a disturbed meiotic cell cycle.
Yes.
So that's the line of thinking that I would like to take. So do we have any other traits like that?
It's same way for photosynthetic traits that we have. Photosynthetic processes affected in under biotic stress. Or
and then it would be the chlorophyll or something, which would be that.
No. How the plants photosynthesize, the whole how you record it based on the electrons that are emitted out of that thing. Or
there's a photosynthetic cycle. Think of it that way.
Based on the amount of CO2 that is fixed in the plant is affected.
Okay.
Same way, transpiration, how they release the water, that is affected. So those are all physiological.
Okay, good. So do we have growth traits?
Yes, we definitely have growth traits.
Why aren't they here then?
Well, I think these categories, like the cell growth and development trait, should move to the growth and development branch.
Maybe it's there already. Is that not just two steps higher?
It is already there, two steps higher.
Okay, then I'm much, since we have a whole architecture of growth and development traits.
Well, right. So the problem is these things like the cell cycle trait has dual parentage.
Like,
so what we're talking about actually is this we're trying to clean up this biochemical branch.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So one of the things under there are these biological process related traits. And I don't really think it's appropriate there. I think that those things should be in the
It can be its own top level category.
Yeah. So biological process related trait is an obvious oxymoron.
Yes.
So we should get rid of that, whatever happens.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's just kind of a grouping term that we don't really need.
Yeah, I agree. If it goes under growth and development, it's okay.
So we could just these ones will have their own.
What can I see the children of physiological?
Yeah, there's a bunch in there too.
Yes. So you don't think respiration rate is a biochemical trait? Photosynthetic ability is not a biochemical trait?
So, Pankaj, I think the issue here is that we're introducing a new scale in terms of which we are classifying traits. And now the scale at issue has to do with the size of the entity which is involved in giving rise to a process.
Yeah.
And that is not, if we can do that, we can annotate terms in the TO according to whether they deal with coarse anatomy of the plant or with the molecular chemistry of the plant. We can do that, but we shouldn't try and do that at the same time as we are doing the other things that we need to do in order to keep track of all these traits. We should have that as an additional annotation.
Sure.
And that's why that particular category seemed to be an oxymoron, because it was trying to introduce a whole new classification scheme into the trait ontology, which is, it's not a good way of building an ontology. You can then infer, if you're interested only in the biochemical related traits, you should be able to infer a branch of the trait ontology which just gives you those ones.
So can we see what's under the biochemical trait? What are the?
I agree with Barry on this. Hierarchy is a little strange to me.
Yeah. So this is what
biochemical trait for me would just be. For example, the development of secondary plant compounds that define something like alkaloids or whatever you want, as opposed to the physiological processes of photosynthesis or water relations, etc.
So if we go back to that.
Hang on 1 second here. I'm just going to open this demonstration. Sorry, it's hard to do things when I'm sharing my screen.
So if we take out the biological process and make it as a child of plant trait as a very top level and leave the biochemical for the rest of those, would that work?
Well, Pankaj, what is the reasoning for making another branch of the TO with biological process related traits? I don't really understand that. There's only four children of it, and they're all things that could be easily slotted into other places.
Like?
Well, like cell cycle trait could be a cell growth and development trait, which it already is, actually, but it has dual parentage.
So could sporogenesis.
So could sporogenesis. So could starch grain synthesis.
So what? Well, no, the reason I'm thinking is that what we are trying to limit is the number of top-level terms that you have in the trait ontology, right? What we're trying to do is not have too many number of children on the very top level.
Right.
I think there could
be some argument maybe for having a physiological process trait.
So if we go back to that view, which our earlier view we had.
Lord, can I say something?
Sure, please do.
I think you will need to double check with Chris, because I think he said that since we are going for formal definition, the processes need to be separated from the rest of the traits. Because do you remember in Peto you have two branches?
Yes.
So the reasoner will crash if you put a process under a morphological trait.
Right. And that makes sense. I've been actually working on fixing some of the cross products. Well, I think all of these would be in the cell, the growth and development branch, which are processes. Those are all process qualities that are traits on there. Yeah.
I agree.
And then this, the physiological processes, I mean, some of these are really strange, like exuded sap volume will be moved. But I mean, we could look at this and decide whether we think this physiological process needs to be its own category.
I suggest that we should move the physiological process as the very top level, one of those very top level.
I think there are things in this one that don't belong there too, like leaf error index.
Yeah. I don't know why leaf error index is in there.
Where would you put the leaf?
Wait, where
do you put the leaf area index?
Well, it's a leaf area.
And
yeah, it's just an index for. I mean, it's probably related to the stomatal index, would be my guess.
Because leaf area index directly contributes to the physiological process of how the photosynthesis happens. It's not a morphology. Although it has morphology associated with it.
But it's a structural feature.
Right. It is a structural feature, but it is measured for the physiological response.
Right, but it contributes, Pankaj. So we could give it a relationship to the the photosynthesis. But I think having it under here is confusing.
Can we see the top level?
The top level of the PO? TO? Yeah. I'm so used to saying PO that.
Okay.
So here's the tree view. So we have biochemical traits, plant growth and development, plant morphology, quality, statute or vigor, sterility or fertility, stress and yield.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of work to be done there. Yeah. I don't think we can sort things out.
Well, so we're just trying to work on this one little brand.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one is misplaced purely and simply because it's the only one which works on the basis of size of entity involved. So it's quite different from the others. And
which one's the? Oh, you mean the leaf area index?
No, the biochemical process one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this
first one.
That's why it's creating multiple inheritance, because it's adding a whole new dimension of classification. It's like building an ontology of cars, which distinguish tanks, jeeps, SUVs, sedans, and then it has big cars and little cars. That would be a bad way of doing the ontology of cars.
So this is what the proposal that Austin put together for what we kind of think that are the appropriate things to have under the biochemical traits.
Well, enzyme activity might be tricky too.
No, it's pretty biochemical. Yeah, where would you put it?
If it is a process, then it's going to need to be grouped with processes.
I'm not so sure about the mineral ion thing over there on the left. That's more physics.
Well,
than biochemistry.
It's a measured biochem.
Those are the ones that we were just looking at. All those ones that have like.
It's like copper content.
Yeah.
But I mean, those, well, I don't view those as biochemical particularly. They're stuff that move in the transpiration stream and end up in places.
I would say that if you take out your cell processes and physiological processes, rest everything is biochemical in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what those are. I just group them.
So is it clear in every case what the carbohydrate content is a content of, or is it going to vary?
Well, carbohydrate content is kind of a upper level term. If you open it up, it has like sugar content, starch content.
Yeah.
Okay. And it goes breaks down from there. You know, under sugar, there's monosaccharides, there's disaccharides, there's polysaccharides.
Cellulose content.
Right.
Yeah, all that stuff. Well, I can see that.
The categories of metabolites right there, basically.
Can we go back to the top level?
Yes. Top level of the whole ontology?
Yeah. I need to study this more carefully. It's not an easy one. If we're going to get rid of biochemical trait, we have to put them somewhere else. If we put them under other miscellaneous trait, that would be against all.
No, that's all, going away.
I think we should get rid of this. There's actually no children of it.
Well, that's the good news.
It is good news.
That was an easy victory.
I think that one we can fix pretty simply. I don't know why we haven't done that yet. But I don't think we want to get rid of the biochemical branch. We just want to clean it up and organize it a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, I know why I created that. It's because there was, if I'm assigning the term and I was not, somebody needed the term ID. I knew the trait is okay.
Right. Need
term ID, get it assigned, place it under miscellaneous, and on my leisure, I will place it into the other categories.
Yeah.
Let me just ask this question. Go back to the top level again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do we put content and composition type terms when they're not biochemical?
Give us an example, Barry.
Saying what particular parts of the plant are made of.
Well, aren't they made of biochemical components are made of carbon and nitrogen?
So I'll answer, Barry. Barry, I think it depends on the entity that is for which the content is being measured.
Yeah.
People can even say that it has a large number of roots. It's also a content of a plant.
Yeah, and that would be under structure.
It has more number of leaves, so it will be under plant structure. So
you
can leaf number is a content issue with respect to the whole plant. Root number is also a content issue. It's a resolution of the.
Okay, then. So the what we have to focus on is the following question: if we say this plant has 10 leaves, we're saying one sort of thing. If we're saying that this plant is made of 10 molecules of some biochemical, then we're making another sort of statement.
Sure.
Why are those two sorts of statements not both structural?
Yeah.
If they are both structural, then we can just put all the chemistry under plant structure.
But that's not possible because, obviously, it's possible because you can measure, but you're always telling whether you're measuring the sodium or potassium content.
Yeah, but you're doing that when you're measuring number of leaves.
That is true. What I'm trying to say is that you're always measuring in a given plant structure, not outside of that plant structure.
Okay, so then there is plant structure and then there is biochemical structure. That's what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that you would measure sodium content in a leaf always. So it will be a leaf sodium content or a root sodium content. It would not be a generic sodium content. Generic sodium content means you're looking at a whole plant level. So you
but,
can.
But don't people do that sometimes, Pankaj?
Yes, they do it. So that's why I'm saying that those biochemical content terms are always with reference to a plant structure entity.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's Barry's point. Then why not put it with the? I'm not saying I agree.
They are microstructure rather than macrostructure. That's my point.
Yeah.
Right. True. But not many times. What problem here is not many times people will tell you where, in which plant structural entity they measured it.
That I don't think that's an ontological issue. I think that my proposal would be that we put these things under structure. We annotate them as being biochemical structures so that we can infer an ontology of biochemical traits if we need it. But the way in which the ontology is organized is such that there are structures and then there are those structures that we're already calling structures, but then there are also the biochemical structures. Mm-hmm. And the biochemical structures will be measured by measuring chemistry features of the other structures, for instance, a leaf.
The problem is, though, that we're going to have, that's going to lead to a massive term inflation. Because you'd have to have like carbohydrate content under leaf, branch, stem, shoot, root.
We don't need to do that. Really.
That can be driven by the annotation. You don't have to create it. That's why I kept all of them independent of the structure.
So we can just say chemical composition of plant structure, and then. Laurel, from what the implications of my proposal would be. If you feel that it's a bad proposal, then
I think it's actually an interesting perspective on this. It's something we hadn't really thought about, but
it has usefulness too, because for example, when we do a lot of this work on biodiversity prospecting for pharmaceutical companies, and we define the parts of the plants that are used because they get different compounds and different concentrations in different parts.
Yeah.
So the notion of Devil's Claw is all based on these underground lignotubers. I'm just saying, so what Barry's coming up with, I mean, it makes sense to me. I don't know how we incorporate it, but.
Yeah. So I was just looking, interestingly enough, we actually have a leaf composition trait. So we have leaf nitrogen content and pigment content.
Ah.
So this is interesting. So there actually are some, let me see if leaf nitrogen content.
I rest my case.
Yeah. this is an interesting way to look at this. Let me see if this is doable.
Right. That is what I'm telling you is when we knew that when this thing is there. But this plant structure entity in the trait name can be addressed not by creating a trait term, but your annotation column number 16 would address it where it was measured and under what growth stage.
Yeah, I don't like that though. We would still need a term for the measuree, the thing which is measured.
What was measured was was like a sodium content, but it was measured in entity phylum or vascular.
Yeah, but it's still in the phylum. The fact that it's measured in the phylum is not new information. And it was in the phylum before it was measured.
Right.
There's no definition. It needs a definition. Well, I think these are all very helpful insights.
Yeah.
So
in order to move forward, what needs to be done?
Well, I think what we should do is maybe mock this up as a prototype, and then we could look at it and look at the different options. Because usually that's when you kind of figure out if things are going to work or not.
Okay, so
Laurel, have we thought about cross-producting to KEBI when we're dealing with?
Yes, absolutely. We're using the KEBI terms for the for the cross products where appropriate.
So here's my suggestion. I think we want to release version 1.2 on the Plantium. So at some point, quickly, within a week or so, I need you guys to fork it out so that we can you can continue working. But Justin Elser needs to use the trade ontology for building the Plantium 1.0. So he can work on your existing ontology, and then it continues to be refined. But don't give him a version which is still in the work in the process.
Right. So we did a release about a week or two ago at the workshop, and we can do another one whenever needed.
Off?
Of the TO. That's what you're saying, right? Like, have a release version, and then we keep working on the editor's version.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, that can be done anytime. We have that process all set up and ready to go.
Yep. Good, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I think we've been, we worked with Chris quite a bit on that at the workshop. Okay, I think we're kind of past the end of the hour. I think maybe we should wrap up, and we can continue this discussion on GitHub and various channels. And anybody have any further questions? One real quick note about the PAG workshop. We have a room. We got the room sorted out. It's going to be in Pacific Salon 6 and 7.
So, Dennis, if you're coming to PAG, it will be Monday, January 11, 5:30 in Pacific Salons 1 and 2. There will be a project meeting along with the dinner.
I think he's, I don't know if he's frozen or what's going on. You still there, Dennis?
I'm going to depart now.
Okay, thank you, Barry.
Bye-bye.
Be in touch. Okay, I think we need to wrap up there. Thanks very much, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Dennis. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.